Scott Laughlin, Kevin Beslip joined on the line from Washington, D.C. is our Senator Dick Durbin. Good morning, sir. Thanks for being on with us this morning.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm all right. Are you getting pounded with bad weather?
Yeah, it's pretty grim here. Just a little bit of rain, you know.
Okay.
It's almost cherry blossom time out here, so all the trees are budding. They're a little bit ahead of us in terms of, spring arriving. But, it's one of those days.
All right.
It'll be good ones.
Boston's going to get hit again. And we all know the government controls the weather. So what's the problem with Boston? Too many Super Bowls? Is that it?
It's that New England Patriot thing, you know what I mean?
Yes, it is. Hey, I think we can all agree on that. All right.
Yep.
So let's talk about several things. I know you're limited on time today. The opioid epidemic, the president's been calling for something to be done. He finally came out yesterday and unveiled some of his ideas, didn't really get into specifics here. But what's your take on it in a nutshell? Did you like what you heard or not?
I wish the president and the attorney general would leave Washington and come to downstate Illinois and meet with a sheriff in a rural county of Illinois, which I did last year. Two kids in that small town in that county, I'm not going to name them on the air here, died over a weekend, and the town went in shock. And the sheriff and chief of police said, we got to do something. And what they did was to announce that if anyone was addicted to heroin or opioids and would come forward, surrender their drugs and paraphernalia, they would not arrest them, but they would put them immediately into treatment. Something like 25 people showed up. And what we quickly learned was treatment facilities available for us downstate are pretty limited. You know, they had to drive these folks, some over to Rock Island and some up to Rockford. But they realized that the only way to stop this epidemic is to put treatment right on the spot. It isn't by hiking criminal penalties on people. You know, the addicts who go into jail come out of jail, unfortunately, still prone to addiction. What we've got to do is to have treatment. Secondly, we got to ask ourselves a basic question. Where are these opioid tablets coming from? They're not coming from the sky. The pharmaceutical companies in the United States produce 14 billion opioid tablets a year. That's enough for every adult in America to have a three-week prescription, enough to hook them on opioids for life. And you think to yourself, why in the world do we need 14 billion, and who approves it? You know who approves it? The Drug Enforcement Administration of the federal government approves that quota of $14 billion. We've been battling them for years, saying, why are you flooding America with these pills that kill 115 Americans every single day? So that's part of the battle, too, completely missed by the president's announcement.
I think he made mention of the fact that a lot of these drugs are coming from Mexico and, again, pushed building his wall.
Oh, let me tell you something. If you own a hammer, as they say, every problem looks like a nail. His wall, his beautiful, big, white, shining wall, 2,200-mile wall, is a 19th-century response to a 21st-century problem. Most of the heroin, I shouldn't say most, but in many cases, the heroin that kills the people who are injecting it is mixed with fentanyl. Fentanyl is a deadly drug, much more potent than heroin, but it'll kill you. And it's killing folks right and left. It doesn't come across the wall in a backpack with some smuggler. It comes through the U.S. mail and through the delivery of packages. So he can build all the walls he wants. I want to put spectrometers into the right clearing stations to make sure we can detect fentanyl before it gets in the United States. That's a 21st century response, not this crazy wall, a 19th century response.
So the money, maybe you would recommend the money spent on a wall be spent on helping these people that are hooked on opioids, because what you suggested in that small county in downstate Illinois, if everyone showed up, you'd have some mighty long lines and you'd need some facilities
sure
to take care of them. So
sure
how would you pay for that?
Well, let me tell you, we're going to pay for it one way or the other. We're going to pay for it with human lives, sadly, those who die. We're going to pay for it in incarceration of those who are arrested. But if we don't get to the root of the problem, I think what we've come to realize is that addiction is not a moral failing. It is a disease that can be treated. It's hard to treat. You know, many of these folks go through treatment once, twice, three times before they finally get themselves cleaned up and straightened out. And it really is painful. These poor families that are going through it, your listeners know them too. I mean, they're folks. I run into do these roundtables downstate, and there'll be a fellow who looks like the best athlete you ever ran into. He got an ankle sprain. He gets some opioid pills, and the next thing you know, he's hooked. And now he's trying desperately at age 25 to get rid of his addiction. What do we do with him? Put him in jail? You know, that isn't how you deal with this in honest terms, as far as I'm concerned.
Talking with Senator Dick Durbin, how about his talk about putting to death some of the people that are responsible for so many deaths here in the United States, and that's the drug pushers, the cartels? What do you think of that?
Listen, I'm for tough penalties on these drug kingpins, period. But I can tell you, we've seen this movie before. What was the war on drugs that we went through 40 years ago? It was tough. We're going to get tough. We're going to have criminal penalties and all the rest. You got to get smart. And when you get smart, you realize two things. For example, the president says all these drugs flowing across the border into the United States. Well, they do flow into the United States from South America, Central America. They don't, as I say, come in backpacks across the border with people walking through the desert. But the second thing we got to realize is that as we buy these drugs, vast sums of American money are headed back to Central America and South America. What is a president going to do about that? What about the cash that's moving back through this drug trade from the United States? What about the guns that are being imported in Central America today into Mexico and those countries so these drug gangs can literally take over nations? Those guns are coming from the United States. We should be watching both sides of the border, things that are flowing in and out of the United States if we're serious.
All right, shift gears here. Government funding, looking at the heels of another government shutdown here in a few days.
No.
Not going to happen?
Not going to happen. We're going to work out something. I'm convinced of it. I can't tell you, as of last night, it was still a work in progress, but it'll be done this week, and it should be. It should have been done long ago. We've got an agreement for next year's budget. I hope we can get down to doing this in a responsible way, pass the appropriation bills, debate them as we're supposed to, and pass them. This is a last-minute mess that we got into for a lot of political reasons, but there will be no shutdown.
All right, your take on the Russia investigation. There's all this. One day the story changes, one day to the next. Robert Mueller, his job safe, you think?
Yes, it better be. And Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, and others have said, John Cornyn of Texas, if this president fires Bob Mueller, he is, in fact, endangering the future of his presidency. What he is saying is there is at least one man in America who is above the law, himself. That is unacceptable. Every single American is subject to the rule of law, including the president. If he tries to stop this criminal investigation, it's going to provoke a constitutional crisis.
You know, call me naive, but until this whole thing came about with the whole the Russian investigation and people getting fired, I would have said, no, the president would not be able to fire the special counsel that is investigating him.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense. You know, why didn't Clinton do it? Or was there talk about it then? I don't remember.
Clinton didn't do it, but Richard Nixon did. And it can be done. You know, if you go through the procedure in this case, Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general, who has not recused from the case and appointed Mueller, has the power to dismiss Mueller. There's no law that stops him from doing that. If Rosenstein refuses, the president can fire him and replace him with someone who will. That, to me, would be totally transparent that the president believes the criminal investigation is too close to home and he's trying to stop it. You know, I think he's getting good advice from some people who are saying, for goodness sakes, Mr. President, if you did nothing wrong, then sit back and wait for this to be concluded. Mueller is a professional. He's not a politician. I've worked with this guy when he's head of the FBI, former U.S. attorney. He was a Marine, fought combat as an officer in the Vietnam War. He is as straight an arrow as you can find in either political party. Let him finish his investigation.
He's got a lot of Democrats on his team, though. It's overwhelming.
Well, he does.
Democrats. The information he gets coming from Democrats, that's what the Republicans are saying, you know?
Well, of course, those who are trying to dismiss him are saying that. The bottom line is, if he can't come up with credible evidence of some criminal wrongdoing, I don't believe he's going to proceed with it, period. and whether people who work for him are Democrats, Republicans, Independents, or never voted is secondary to whether or not they're doing their job as prosecutors. We've got good, able prosecutors in both political parties. And if you look back, you mentioned President Clinton. He went through some pretty arduous situations with a Democratic attorney general, you know, and yet it was done the right way. It was done in a professional way. That's what we expect.
All right. Hey, I know you're short on time. We're going to let you go here, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next month.
Go Loyola Ramblers, right?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The last Illinois team in the tournament.
Yeah. All right. Hey, go Ramblers and Porter Moser. Absolutely. Senator Dick Durbin on WJBC.